with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers. And on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. This past September 30th, 1600th anniversary of the birthday of St. Jerome into eternity, Pope Francis, by motu proprio, declared that for the rest of the history of the Church, we will use the third Sunday of Ordinary Time to celebrate the Sunday of the Word of God. And so 12 days from now, we will celebrate that Sunday. And he said that he wanted to do it to help the Church throughout the world understand and appreciate the treasure of the Word of God, and make us more capable and more committed of sharing that treasure with others. Today, in this second day of Ordinary Time, after we pondered yesterday the response we're supposed to have to the Lord in every time, to repent from every way we don't live like he lives, to believe in him, to follow him, and to fish for him. Today, God reveals to us the gift so that we can do all of that better, more easily, and more fervently. It's the gift of his powerful word. Jesus enters the synagogue in Capernaum, and he taught. And he taught in such a way that they were astonished. They exclaimed, "He teaches as one having authority, not as the scribes." What does that mean? Scribes were always footnoting. They were citing this saying of Moses or that. Jesus came. He spoke with an eye. Eventually, he would define himself as the good shepherd, the light, the resurrection, the way, the truth, the life. He would say, "Moses said to you, but I say, shall not murder, shall not have hatred, shall not commit adultery, shall not lust in your heart. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Love your enemies." Jesus spoke with authority because he was the author. And they picked that up immediately. He spoke with the confidence of one who knew those words to be true. The other way he obviously spoke with authority was his words were not just informative, but performative. He through whom all things were made would say something and it would happen. That's what we see in the gospel when Jesus rebukes the spirit in this man and says, "Quiet, come out of him." The demon was quieted and came out. When Jesus would say on a stormy sea, "Be quiet," it would become still. When he would say, "I do will it," be healed. Lepers would be healed. Mangled hands would stretch forth. Lame people would walk. Blind people would see. Mute people would be able to praise the Lord. Deaf people would hear Jesus speaking to them. What incredible authority Jesus speaks with. The question for us is whether we're astonished, whether we're amazed. Pope Francis said in his motu proprio, Operuit Illis, he opened their hearts to the understanding of the scriptures from the Emmausing, that he wanted us to become familiar with the Word of God, so that it would truly become part of us. But sometimes familiarity can work in such a way that we can take it for granted. We're overexposed. We lose a little bit of the sense of the amazement because it comes so routine. And that's why this upcoming Sunday of the Word of God is so important, to snap us out of that routine. We begin most mornings here in prayer by praying Psalm 95. And it gives us a diagnosis for how we lose the astonishment. If today you hear the Word of God, harden not your hearts, it says. It's not a question of the intellect. It's not a thing of the mind. It's ultimately a thing of love. Do we love what we're hearing? Do we approach first with our will? Brain will do what it needs to. But we really have to look at the reverence that we have. The gospel verse today teaches us how not to have a hardened heart, but to have the type of Marian receptive heart that God wants. Receive the word of God, St. Paul says to the Thessalonians and us, not as the word of men, but as it truly is, God's word. We've got to listen as if God is speaking, even if it's very early in the morning, even if we've got a headache, even if we've got decades of wax in the ear. We've got to listen because God is speaking. We see the power of the Word of God and what it means to listen in the first reading. Hannah went to the temple, and there she was pouring herself out, knowing that God had the ability to do what nature hadn't. She comes into the presence of the corrupt Eli, allowing his two sons to run roughshod over the temple and all types of atrocities and sins. Same Eli whom we'll meet, who, when Samuel comes to him in the middle of the night saying, "You're calling me," needs three times to wake up to the possibility that God might be speaking. And who, when he sees a woman praying with tears, comes to the precipitous conclusion that she must be drunk. But Hannah goes there with faith in the Lord, the power of his ability to speak in response to her prayers and make it happen. And even the Lord, we could say, ex opere operato, through Eli, when he says, "Go in peace, and may the Lord, the God of Israel, grant you what you have asked of him." God did. What a beautiful witness for us. That son she would bear and name Samuel, since she had asked the Lord for him and the Lord had responded, as a reminder of how the Lord hears our prayers, would be the one who would give us the beautiful prayer, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." He would say it, because the Lord was able to give it through him, through Eli. And the church has been praying it ever since. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That is the means by which we're able to receive the word of the Lord as it truly is. And the most powerful performative language of all follows the hearing of the word of God. It's supposed to not return to the Lord vain, but accomplish its purpose and change us. After Jesus proclaimed the word of God in the temple, he exercised a possessed man. Today he does something far more powerful and awesome. Through another priest with all of his weaknesses, he will say, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood," and it really will be him. May we respond better than the possessed man. He was able to recognize in Jesus an authority that astonished him even in his state, and was able to cry out, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." As this Lamb of God who comes into the world to take away our sins is about to be elevated and enter into us, may we know this Holy One of God, hear his words, and make our life a living commentary on them. Receive the word of the Lord as it truly is.